Imagine waking up tomorrow, pouring your morning coffee, and seeing a news alert on your phone that says you can never buy a physical book again.
Oh, why? I've
Right. Like moving forward, you can only rent access to a digital library. You don't get the paper, you don't get the binding, and you definitely don't get to, hand it to a friend when you're done reading it.
It's just pixels on a screen at that point.
Exactly. Just pixels. And the publisher, they can just pull it from your device whenever they feel like it.
Which would completely upend how we think about like our bookshelves, our personal collections, and really just our basic rights as consumers. You know, you're talking about fundamentally changing that whole power dynamic between the creator, the seller, and the audience.
And that exact feeling, that feeling of the ground completely shifting underneath you, that is exactly the shockwave currently ripping through the video game industry. So, welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Our mission today for you listening is to synthesize a massive stack of sources. We've got corporate announcements, financial analyst reports, developer pushback, and some really fascinating takes from game preservationists. We want to figure out exactly why PlayStation is killing physical game discs in January 2028, and more importantly, what this means for the very concept of ownership.
Yeah, because the timeline is no longer this distant hypothetical future. I mean, we are sitting here in July 2026, and Sony has just dropped an absolute bombshell.
It's wild.
It really is. Sid Schumann, he's PlayStation's Senior Director of Global Content Communications, he just put out the official word. Starting in January 2028, physical disc production for all new PlayStation games is dead. Finished.
Wow.
Yeah, the entire ecosystem is just moving exclusively to the PlayStation Store or digital codes.
The disc era is actually over. And I think to really grasp the magnitude of this shift, we have to kind of look past the initial shock and dig into the data. Because a massive corporation doesn't just, wake up and decide to alienate a chunk of its user base on a whim.
Oh, far from it. This has been a slow, highly calculated march over, what, the last 13 years or so?
Right.
If we trace the data back to November 2013, when the PlayStation 4 launched, less than 10% of game sales were digital. Gamers were inherently tied to physical retail.
But then you see the infrastructure catch up, right? Like as broadband speeds increased and features like digital preloading became
Oh,
standard.
yeah, being able to play at exactly midnight.
Exactly. Without standing out in the cold outside a store,
Yeah.
the behavioral shift was really aggressive. By the PS5 launch in 2020, digital adoption hit 45%. And now, looking at Sony's data for 2025, we are sitting at a massive 80% of all full game sales being purely digital.
Which leads financial analysts to a very, very clear conclusion about the hardware itself.
Yeah.
We've got Daniel Ahmad, he's the Director of Research and Insights at Nikko Partners, and Matt Piscitella, an industry advisor at Circana. They both looked at this trajectory and basically said it guarantees the base PlayStation 6 will not have a disc drive.
The console everyone is expecting around late 2027 or early 2028.
Right. It's just a pure margin and control play by Sony.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the math here is what initially tripped me up. If 80% of sales are digital, that undeniably leaves 20% of the player base still buying physical discs, right?
Right, yeah.
For a platform with an install base of tens of millions of users, 20% represents millions of paying customers. So why is Sony willing to just, leave all that money on the table?
Well, it looks like they're leaving money on the table, but the financial mechanics tell a completely different story. They aren't leaving money behind at all. They're actually setting themselves up to capture significantly more revenue.
How so?
By forcing that remaining 20% into a closed ecosystem, think of it like Apple's App Store. Apple doesn't allow you to sideload apps on an iPhone, right? Because they want to control the ecosystem and take their 30% cut of literally every transaction. Sony's doing the exact same thing here.
Right. So by eliminating the disk drive, you eliminate the alternative storefronts. If I want a PlayStation game, my only option is Sony's digital toll booth.
Exactly. And beyond the platform tax, think about the sheer logistical overhead that just vanishes overnight. Pressing the Blu-ray discs, printing those paper inserts, manufacturing the plastic cases.
Well, and shipping them around the world.
Right, negotiating freight on global cargo ships, fighting for limited shelf space in retail warehouses. Stripping away all that manufacturing cost instantly inflates their profit margins.
But the absolute crown jewel of this strategy, the real reason the financial sector is cheering, is the complete destruction of the secondhand market.
Because the secondhand market is a massive multi-billion dollar leak in their revenue bucket.
It totally is. I mean, if you buy a used game from a retailer, or even just buy it off a buddy, Sony and the game's publisher see exactly $0 of that transaction.
Literally nothing.
Right. The game changes hands, someone gets dozens of hours of entertainment, and the original creators aren't compensated at all for that secondary use. By killing the disc, Sony kills used game trade-ins entirely. It's as if a car manufacturer figured out a way to magically stop you from ever selling your used car, you know? Forcing everyone to buy brand new directly from the factory. I imagine the stock market had a field day with this announcement.
Oh, they loved it. Pelham Smithers, a senior gaming market analyst, called this out right away as a brilliant move for profit margins.
Yeah.
And as a result, Sony shares rose 2.3%, almost the second the market digested the news.
But the stock market is kind of a seesaw, right? If Sony is actively eliminating the used game market, the companies reliant on that market must be panicking.
Panic is an understatement. The fallout was immediate. GameStop shares plummeted 8.7%.
Wow.
Yeah, it was their biggest single-day drop in 6 months. For brick-and-mortar retailers, this isn't just a bad quarter. This is an existential threat to their core business model. Retailers are just going to be reduced to selling digital code cards.
Which yield much lower profit margins, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. Microscopic margins compared to physical goods.
Right, which means the retail apocalypse for gaming is essentially at our doorstep. But shifting from the corporate economics to the consumer side of things, this forces us to look at a pretty uncomfortable truth. If retail dies and we are forced into Sony's walled garden, it fundamentally changes what it means to actually buy a game.
Yes, exactly. You transition from a culture of true ownership to a culture of temporary access. It's the illusion of ownership. In the physical era, the disc was your property. In the digital era, you don't own the game, you rent a revocable license.
A revocable license, so the platform holder can just shut off your access.
Right. If Sony shuts down a server, or if a publisher goes bankrupt, the game just vanishes.
And we saw Sony try this before, didn't we? When they tried to close the PS3, PSP, and Vita stores a few years back.
Yeah, they had to reverse that decision because the community backlash was so ferocious. But it proved that these digital libraries we're building are completely at the mercy of a corporate server switch.
Which brings us to the game preservationists. Mm. I mean, you would assume the people fighting to archive gaming history are the ones chaining themselves to Sony headquarters right now.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
But the sources actually reveal a really surprising counterpoint. Frank Sfaldi from the Video Game History Foundation pointed out that physical discs aren't actually saving gaming history anyway.
Wait, really? So even the people fighting for physical media have to admit the physical disc was already basically becoming an expensive plastic coaster?
Pretty much. What's fascinating here is that modern video games rely on this massive hot pipeline of development. The disc is usually incomplete. It requires massive day one patches and online servers just to be playable. So the physical disc is often just a physical key.
But without the server, the key unlocks an empty room.
Precisely. It's useless without the server handshake.
That is just wild. But even if the disc is just a key, taking that key away completely locks out millions of specific consumers around the world.
Oh, the impact on developing markets is devastating. Take Iran, for example. Gamers there face international payment sanctions, making normal digital purchases almost impossible.
Right. They can't just link up a U.S. credit card.
Exactly. And even if they do find a workaround, they deal with incredibly slow internet, making a 100-gigabyte download completely unfeasible. Plus, digital store prices are often tied to the U.S. dollar without any proportion to local income.
So a $70 game could be a huge chunk of a month's salary.
Exactly. And you also have to look at the collector community. The heartbreak there is very real. You have companies like IM8Bit putting out statements saying, "Long live physical media." Gamefly is capitalizing on the news with a $2.50 subscriber return deal. And indie developers like Eternum Game Studios telling fans, "We will not let go of your hand."
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because publishers know collectors are upset, so they are leaning into this bizarre trend called code in a box. We saw this mentioned with GTA 6 launching without a disc in some editions.
Yeah, it's such a strange compromise.
It's literally just buying a standard plastic game case with the cover art and the cellophane wrap, but when you open it, it's completely empty except for a slip of paper with a download code. It's like buying a beautiful, empty display case for your bookshelf just to prove you bought something invisible.
Yeah, it gives them the retail shelf presence without the manufacturing costs.
It's crazy, but If PlayStation is forcing this digital future by 2028, what about the rest of the industry? Is there any sanctuary left for the physical purist?
Well, the digital takeover is pretty much industry-wide at this point. I mean, Capcom is at 93% digital. EA makes $528 million from digital compared to just $81 million from physical.
Wow, those numbers aren't even close. And if we look at other media, film is dying physically. Best Buy completely stopped selling discs in 2024, but music had a twist, right? Vinyl actually surpassed CDs recently. Could games see a niche, premium physical market survive like vinyl did?
It's a fun thought, but you can buy a record player anywhere. Video games need proprietary console hardware. If Sony doesn't make a disc drive, you can't play your physical game no matter how premium the box is.
What about Xbox then?
So, rumors around Project Helix suggest the next Xbox won't have a drive either. But they are exploring a disk-to-digital feature.
And TC has been digital-first for a long time, though they do have DRM-free platforms like GOG, giving you ultimate flexibility. And then there's Nintendo.
Right, Nintendo is the big holdout. They're only at 54.6% digital, and all signs point to the Switch 2 still using physical cartridges.
If Nintendo is the last bastion of physical media, but they never discount their games, and PC requires expensive hardware, are consumers basically just choosing their preferred flavor of compromise?
Yeah, pretty much. If we connect this to the bigger picture, scenario one, which is total digital dominance, is the most likely future. Consumer convenience combined with corporate cost cutting is just too powerful a combination to stop.
So, what does this all mean? We've looked at the data, the economics, the preservation issues, and for Sony and the publishers, it's an undeniable economic victory. It's a masterclass in ecosystem control.
Absolutely. But for retailers and game preservationists, it's an existential crisis.
Right. And for you, the listener, it means that the convenience of instant downloads comes at a really high cost. The cost of true ownership, the ability to share games with your friends, and the culture of a physical collection.
You really are trading rights for convenience.
Exactly. And I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over today. As we move toward 2028, if our games, our movies, and our music are all just temporary revocable licenses, Are we actually building digital libraries, or are we just living in a rental property where the corporate landlord can evict our favorite memories without warning?